I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, the podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. I'm Mel.
I'm Helen.
I'm Janet.
And Kathy.
Babies, babies, babies. In the last episode of season one, episode 12, Labor of Love, we focused on the topic of babies. We fantasized about what it would be like to have children, from pregnancy to labor to the process of raising them. But because none of us are actual mothers, this discussion was completely hypothetical. Today, we are so thrilled to have a special guest with us to share her experience of recently birthing a new little human. You might know her from her YouTube channel where she vlogs and sings to over 300,000 subscribers, which she manages in addition to being an X-ray tech, and now also a new mama. Welcome our friend, Kathy Nguyen.
Woo! Yay, thanks guys.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Welcome, welcome.
So thanks. Honored to be here.
Thanks so much for being with us. You are now our fourth guest.
Oh, I love it.
On yeah. Asian Boss Girl, and you are truly an Asian boss girl.
Oh, yes. Yourself. Really? Thank you.
Yes, you are. To what Janet just introed, you have over 300,000 subscribers on YouTube, over 100,000 on Instagram, yet you have this regular 9-to-5 plus job.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. I don't know how that happens.
Like, I've always been curious, and I think a lot of our listeners also are, you know, modern day working women who are trying to find this other pathway of like a passion project or whatever it is, right? Something that you have been able to find balance with. And I think it'd be good for our listeners to just like hear, what did you start off with after college right away? And how did you get into X-ray tech?
Well, after college, I had applied to be in this X-ray program, which around that time, it took 3 years to get into the program.
Oh, wow.
So there was three-year waiting list. Oh, wow. And it was during that 3 years was when the whole YouTube thing had happened. Mm. And so I remember watching Happy Flip and David Choi, yeah. And I was like, that's cool. I want to do that too. Yeah. And so I did. And one thing led to another, and then somehow was in the right place at the right time and just met the right people, and then here I am.
And you did, was it during that time that you did, like, Strangers Again is one of Wong Fu's most watched videos.
Crazy.
And yeah. All thanks to you, clearly.
No.
Not Philip.
No. All Philip.
Yeah. But was that during that time, the 3 year
that
period?
Was what, 2009? Yeah, I started on YouTube 11. Oh, sorry, 11. Whoops. 2011. My first video was 2007.
Okay.
Oh.
And then so I started off singing. Mm-hmm. On YouTube, and then eventually, as I kind of grew up, I guess, started vlogging about my life and then about travels with my boyfriend at the time, mm-hmm. and then husband, and then now we're married, and now we have a baby.
And so that was your boyfriend back then. So you guys have been dating for a while.
Yeah.
And were you prepping for the tech program at the same time, or how did that come into play with all of that?
So the whole YouTube, so I had taken a little hiatus in the middle of that. So in the first half was the singing part, and then, like, you know, the acting with Wong Fu. And then I took a break after, once I started the program, mm-hmm. I took a break. So that was like 2-3 years. And then it was when, around the time we were about to get married, I was like, I want to start vlogging. Like, we're traveling a lot. I want to do little travel vlogs and videos and kind of start getting easing back in again. And mm-hmm. so that's what I started doing. So I was like, hey, welcome back. It's me. So I posted traveling videos and little vlogs. So I guess I kind of grew up from the singing phase to now the married and being a mom phase.
How many years were you in X-ray tech before you decided to come back to this YouTube community?
I was, maybe like about 2 years in,
a
few years in, yeah.
Were you like itching to get back? You're like, oh, I
was.
Used to do this thing.
I missed it. I missed the scene. I missed the people. I miss meeting new friends and traveling and all that stuff. It all came with it, and it was fun when it had happened back then. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I want to do this again.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. And I think people probably like really missed you too, that mm-hmm, used to follow you. And like, did you lose subscribers during that time? Or was it just...
I honestly don't know. I never really looked at the numbers. I just did what I wanted to do because I enjoyed it. I didn't care about the number. I didn't have like a long-term goal of being full-time music person, you know, whatever. So yeah. I just did it because I enjoyed it, honestly.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I think that's also really rare to hear, because I feel like a lot of people that we know who are like YouTubers who are musicians want to make it full-time, you were like...
I was not on that.
You were like just good.
A hobby. It worked out. Like, yeah. It
just worked out. It's a side hobby with 1,000 followers. I know, right?
Lord. It's also a great lesson for our listeners that you can pursue a passion project and take a break and come back to it. It's not like you don't have to fully, you can balance it in that way.
True. Yeah. It was nice because I made my own schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't commit to like, oh, I got to post every twice a week or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was able to, I'll post something. If not, then whatever, you know.
And coming from like an Asian background, did your parents ever say, like when you first started off, you had kind of an excuse to be like, I can't work for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so this is what I'm going to do. But were they kind of like pushing you into a certain direction that was not YouTube, or were they really supportive of you?
They were actually really excited to see like how much exposure I was getting around that time, when I was getting, you know, all the little views and, you know, people recognizing me and stuff. So that was cool. They were supportive in that way. But, you know, in the back of their mind, they were also like, you know, this is just a hobby too.
Right. Yeah.
You got school coming up. Yeah. So, you know, so knowing that in the back of my mind, you know, how they felt, I didn't pursue music full time, just knowing that in the back of my head, you know, I didn't give my all.
And then now that you're kind of back into it, are they like still, because you're still working your normal job?
I am.
Now.
So I am working as an X-ray tech now. I think now that I am actually working, like, I don't think that matters anymore. If it works out, it works out, you know, but I myself am not reaching for that anymore.
And the X-ray tech, it's like a full-time 40-hour.
It can be. I don't work full-time, so
that helps.
Yeah, it does help.
I think I've always just been like, how is she able to like do both? Because like, even for us in this podcast, we're like, holy crap, this takes a lot of work.
Oh my God,
and like,
yeah,
here you are editing your vlogs and like actually vlogging and like creating content. And I think you're just like a super talented person, so you're able to like just sing as if it's like if we were to sing, we'd edit it for like 10 hours.
Oh yeah.
Or more.
I mean, that probably explains why I don't post that often. It's like once every few months I'll post something. That's because I'm really busy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm editing while I'm working or with a baby, but it takes months until a new video comes out. So
I didn't know that you were like studying to be X-ray tech as you were doing YouTube. Because when I first like found out about Kathy, like it was because like the YouTube channels I'd watch. I was like, oh, Kathy, who's this? And then I watched her videos. I mean, I loved your voice. So I didn't know at that time you were actually studying to do something else.
Yeah.
It's the first time for our listeners to know that about you as well. Because I do think when like you see these YouTubers, you assume like they're pursuing this full time. This is their passion. It's just like, well, actually, you know, you're like just doing this for fun. You had, like Helen said, you just had me really good at it.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
And it's all self-taught. Right? Or did someone like guide you to?
Yeah, self-taught.
Dang.
I wish I had a voice.
Boss lady.
No, not at all. Thank you, though.
And now you have a baby, so you've added another thing to your schedule. Like, how has that been?
So everything else is in the back burner now.
Shifting the priorities. Right?
Yeah, so priorities definitely have shifted even more so. So baby has taken over my days.
Baby Isla.
That's a pretty name.
Yeah. Thank you.
How did you come up with that name? It's a very unique
Isla.
Name.
So Isla, spelled Isla. It was named after a place in Vegas.
Kathy's always
been very ratchet.
It's one of those steak and egg spots out in Vegas, and Mikey and I had a lot of memories out there. So I was like, oh, if we had a kid, if it was a boy, Ellis, and then girl, Isla, named after Ellis Island.
Whoa.
It's pretty.
That's such
cute.
A sweet story. Yeah.
I know. Weird, right?
No, but it's actually super. That's like very meaningful. It's not just like, I like the sound of the name.
True. And that too. I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. Isla.
Was he on board like right away? He's like, girl,
yeah,
I want to name it like Stephanie or something.
No, he was. He was. That was like the go-to spot every, you know, whatever.
Did you guys go to Vegas a lot?
Yeah, it was one of those
like escapes.
escapes, easy escapes.
Yeah.
While in, you know, while we were dating.
Yeah.
I was telling Kathy because before we got into recording, I was like, I asked her how she named her daughter, mm-hmm. and I was like, yeah, Isla's a really, it's not a common name, and I don't know any Asian American woman named Isla.
Is there anyone named Isla?
She's unique. Well, before I named her, I was looking up hashtags on Instagram.
Oh. Okay.
To see if there's any hashtags. There are hashtags and handles that are Isla's, so there are Isla's there. Out there. I just don't know anybody personally, so right. I was like, cool.
Isla's because it sounds like, I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, she's going to get a lot of boys saying that to her.
Yeah. No.
Just kidding.
No boys, not until college.
Is Mikey already really like the protective dad because, you know, like a daddy's girl?
Not yet. I have a feeling he will be, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
I hear it from my sister. Like, I hear it's harder for the men in, like, when for newborns because mm-hmm. they're so attached to, like, the mom and so, like, yeah. reliant on the mom.
Yeah.
And, like, they can't really react to the dad and they're just kind of like, what am I supposed to do here? Yeah, I just have to, like, support and I don't feel like I'm really giving anything that's, like, truly helpful. So, yeah, in time, though.
So let's take it all the way back to, we want to hear everything about your pregnancy, labor, being a mom now. So did you guys plan the pregnancy or did you have, like, were you aiming for a certain period of time to just post-marriage or kind of how did all of this come about?
Yeah, so we did plan. We knew that we wanted to have a baby after we did some traveling.
Yeah.
Which we did. So we got married in 2015 and we got to travel for about like 2-ish years or so.
That sounds amazing.
And then, yeah, so we got to do some traveling and then it was the end of last year where we're like, all right, 2018 is the year we're gonna start trying.
Yeah.
And so January we took one last cruise trip and then that was that. We found out we were pregnant in February.
So the cruise trip was that last cruise trip.
Yeah. It didn't happen on the cruise though. It didn't. People think it happened on the cruise, but it did not.
Were you kind of shocked that it happened so quickly? Or
yeah,
you,
totally.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that was quick. I mean, some people don't. That doesn't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. So we were really lucky to have been pregnant immediately.
And you had a whole, like, release video of you finding out about your pregnancy.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
like, the sweetest video. Oh, my gosh.
I think I cried.
Yeah, I think I did, too. Just, like, his reaction.
Yeah.
Mikey's reaction, your husband, is just like, oh, that's such a sweet moment that you captured.
We're both very emotional people, so we cry a lot.
How did you find out about your pregnancy?
So I was about 2 weeks late. I'm usually, you know, irregular anyway, so I was kind of waiting it out.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, all right, how much longer do I wait? And it was like that week he was out of town for a work interview or something like that. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to check on my own.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
Oh, God, it's scary. So I did, I bought a test, and then I was by myself. Checked it and I was like, no. I was like, okay, I'm gonna check another one.
Yeah.
Like, oh crap. Oh, yeah, I am. Oh, you know? Like, how do you react when you're by yourself? Do you cry? Do you scream? Do you laugh?
Yeah.
You know,
pull out a camera like, and start recording.
Yeah, I was like, I kind of want to just vlog this moment too.
Yeah.
So I did. Aww. And I mean, my reaction on the video was not as, you know, intense as people have done it. But yeah, I found out on my own and then I waited a week after to tell Mikey because I wanted to, like, I was like, how am I gonna tell him? I wanted to do it in a special way also.
Yeah.
Too, you know,
right.
So took a week to tell him. He's like, you took a week? You knew for a week and you didn't tell me?
Did you tell anyone else during that time?
Actually, I did. I actually told my boss before I told my husband.
Oh my God.
Yes, because
so
I am an x-ray.
Right.
I work as an x-ray tech, so x-rays, I wanted to make sure, you know, I take the proper, you know, steps to
protect yourself.
Yeah, protecting myself.
Yeah.
So I told my boss, and so I had to, you know, get an extra badge and all that stuff. Yeah. So I had to tell her first. I was
hilarious.
Like, this is weird. Yeah. So I did have to tell her first.
So Kathy, when you were younger, did you have a certain age that you envisioned having kids by, or it was just like, it didn't matter for you?
I think we all had some sort of timeline, unrealistic
like
timeline.
26,
yeah.
Right?
Mine was married at 25, kids at 27.
And do you mind sharing your age with our audience?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I just turned 31.
Baby.
What? Yeah, I'm 31
you
too.
You guys are...
Hey, well, you're 31, you're married, and you have a baby, so...
Wasn't too far off the mark.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Probably about the same.
25,
so I'm like
27.
Way more delayed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think times have changed
yeah.
a lot. Yeah.
The age has moved a little further towards the 30s, and then people don't really care anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Sort of. I think when I was younger, I was similar to you, like the 25, 27. And then as I get older and I'm like, hey, that's not happening.
Yeah.
It's like getting pushed out a decade pretty much.
It's okay.
But yeah, I think that is kind of more popular thing that's happening nowadays. So
I'm still aiming for my 30s to have kids and get married and find someone. All the stuff.
Lots of ambition from all in the next 2 years.
I'm like goal-oriented, you know? So I'm trying to hit that.
Baby oriented.
Yeah. Oh, I had a question. We talked about it in episode in season one. Like, I tend to fantasize about, ooh, what kind of sex for the baby do I prefer to have? Did you want a girl or a boy first?
I was 49-51 girl, like percentage wise. I was like, I don't mind, but a little bit more of a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not for any particular reason, but it's just like, just want a girl.
Yeah. And did you have like cravings? Because I hear like you get more like sweets cravings when you are pregnant with a girl.
I did not have any cravings. Actually, I had no appetite.
Oh.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I was like, did not want to eat. And I love food. I love to eat. And I was like, nah, that doesn't sound good. Just, that like, doesn't nauseous. Sound good.
Do you feel nauseous?
I didn't get nauseous. If I did, it was very mild. Yeah. Nothing too crazy. So I was lucky in that end. But no cravings, no morning sickness, really.
Dang.
Kathy, if you could share with us pretty much the pregnancy experience. So from day one when you found out you were pregnant all the way through to, you know, right before you're heading to the hospital.
Yeah. So disclaimer for you guys listening, my pregnancy journey was unique. I mean, as everyone's is. I guess I can't say it's the most typical sounding pregnancy. So, no. I mean, I think it's a good way to kind of share this story so that you don't expect the good all the time coming out of, you know, pregnancy stories, because ours was a bit of a roller coaster ride.
And I think that's really cool that you're open to sharing that story, because we do need to normalize these conversations a little bit more, right?
Yeah, like, totally.
A lot of us consume media that just says, oh yeah, just pop out of the baby.
Yeah,
slipped out of my vagina.
Yeah. Exactly. you hear the part where you're pregnant and then you give the birth.
Exactly.
The in-between, there's a lot that goes on. And for us, there was a lot that kind of went on. More so in the beginning-ish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This will be my first time kind of explaining this story. So this will be
exclusive. Content.
Nervous.
Don't be nervous.
So in the beginning, it was exciting. The first, 12 weeks was exciting. That was when we found out, and then, you know, trying to figure out how to tell your family, friends, announcing it, finding out the gender. All that was great. And then it was around maybe like the 20-week mark where they start doing some testing. 20 weeks, they do something they call an anatomy scan, where they start measuring the baby. And we had been told that the baby was measuring small. So I was like, okay, small, whatever. And then after that, I mean, this is all in one appointment. So baby was measuring small. I had something they called a placenta previa, which is where the placenta is covering your uterus. That is more of a problem towards the end where, like, if you were to give birth, you might have to get a C-section.
Right. Okay.
So I had that. And then I also had cysts in my placenta. And I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So all in one appointment, I had found all that out. And I'm like, what did I do? Like, what am I doing wrong?
Right.
You know, am I not eating enough? Is that why baby's small? That was rough for us. So it was maybe about a month period where there was a bunch of testing going on. And like, of course, you know, being first time mom, you don't know.
Yeah,
people don't tell you these things, you know? So I'm researching things online. I'm like, is this okay? What's normal? And in my case, like, the cysts were very unique.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't find anything online about it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And what was interesting also was that the doctors were like, we don't know what these are. And I'm
oh my gosh,
God,
that's
come
not
on,
what you want your doctor
so I'm like,
to hear from
Lordy.
Your doctor.
Yeah, so that took a toll on me. And also with what I mentioned, the placenta previa, like, I'm not allowed to do strenuous work. So I started my disability early. So I took work off. I started disability in July. So pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
So I was home, not doing work. Like, I can't lift and stuff like that.
Right.
The following months, I had lots of doctor's visits for, you know, follow-up and checkup and measuring and stuff like that. So everything was still there. Like, the cysts were still there. Baby was still measuring small.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had said, I had no appetite, no anything. So towards the third trimester, they do the diabetes test, your blood sugar test. And then I got gestational diabetes. So on top of all that, I'm with diabetes. And then they're like, all right, you need to be on this strict diet. And I'm like, I don't already want to eat anything. And now you're putting me on this diet where I can't eat anything. So I was like, oh my gosh, that was like the cherry on top of it
was
all.
That
you know,
parts of the cause of the other three things before?
No.
That they didn't?
And,
so this is a new
and
thing.
With the diabetes thing, that usually happens, or it runs in the family.
Yeah.
Like, if your mom had it, then you're most likely to have it.
Yeah.
But my mom didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do I have it? So yeah. Like a lot of things where I'm like, why me? Why me?
Right. Yeah.
So I was going through some rough times in the middle there, but you can just imagine how emotional I had felt.
Of course. You know? Yeah. And you're like isolated by yourself at home. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like when you're in that situation, like no one's there and you're like just running thoughts through your mind. Like I never heard about this like side of pregnancy before.
Yeah. So it was a lot, but that was the pregnancy experience from the beginning till the pre-birthing part.
And then the doctor didn't have any like solutions for
It was just monitoring the placenta of the baby. At 38 weeks, I had an appointment and the specialist was like, all right, so at this point, I think your baby's going to be better nourished outside of the womb. Mm-hmm. So I had to get an induction. Mm-hmm. My estimated due date was October 17th and I came into the hospital October 7th to get my induction.
And what is an induction?
Induction is when they just kind of force the baby out. Does it, like unnaturally.
They put you into labor.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much. Like through medications. Was it trying to dilate?
C-section?
No, thankfully not. For me, in my scenario, if it had gone any longer, I felt like it was going to go into C-section. Mm-hmm. But after I was in the hospital for about 34 hours, active labor, about 21 hours.
Oh my God.
Freaking crap.
Oh Lord. Wait, so what were the methods they tried to do?
So October 7th, 8 o'clock in the morning, I came into the hospital. So with me, I was always hoping, you know, when you're pregnant, oh, water breaking, whatever, I didn't have that experience. Yeah. I had the, okay, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to shower, get ready to give birth today, you know? Oh, so I'm like, I kind of wanted that, like, my water broke.
Yeah.
Moment.
I just broke all over the carpet. Uh-oh. Yeah.
I didn't have that moment, but I was able to prepare in such a way where I was ready, you know. We came in, that was Sunday morning, came in, and obviously my body wasn't ready to give birth, so they have to, you know, give you medicine and all that stuff. So the first part of it was putting like this pill on your cervix to try to get your cervix to dilate.
Okay.
And that was like 12 hours of just, I mean, that didn't hurt, but it was just a long process. And it was just a waiting process that did not progress within the 12 hours.
What does it do? Does it just like contract the muscles or something to open? Or
I
riding?
Guess so, yeah. Yeah. I didn't feel anything. They would just insert a pill like right on the cervix every however many hours.
Okay.
Wow.
And after like the 6th hour or whatever, 10th hour, it's like, oh, you're still barely 1 centimeter dilated.
Oh my gosh,
and I'm like,
and
you have to get to 10 to give birth. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, 12 hours is gone. So this is now, 9 o'clock at night on that Sunday. And they end up putting a balloon catheter in now at this point. Mm-hmm. And that pretty much is trying to also, you know, open up the cervix.
Yeah.
So when they put the balloon in, they also started the Pitocin, which is a contractions medicine.
Okay.
That's when you start feeling the pain.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So I was really nervous. I didn't know about this whole balloon thing. Yeah. Pitocin, you don't know how contractions feel. I don't know. So
I hear it feels like a really bad cramp.
Yeah.
Like a period
and
cramp.
And that's when it started. So 9 o'clock p.m. when they put the balloon in. So the balloon is supposed to, if all goes well, if I get dilated, the balloon's supposed to slip out at 6 centimeters.
Okay. Mm.
So throughout the whole night, I was like, the nurse would come in and try to tug on the balloon and it wouldn't come out. So I'm like, I'm still stuck at 1 centimeter, you know?
Oh my
gosh. I was, you know, getting discouraged and, you know, sad. I'm like, come on, I'm tired. I just want to get this baby out. The Pitocin medicine started kicking in around like 10 o'clock. And for a good 5 hours, I was going through contractions, consistent contractions every few minutes. And I was like, mad, like menstrual cramping.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God. And then you're fine. And then you can talk normally. And then it's like, oh gosh. Then it's like, okay, you can breathe for another minute. And that went on for a good 5 hours. And the thing is, I didn't know that I could take pain medication at the time. I didn't know.
Epidural?
I thought, the epidural isn't until you get to like 6 or 7 centimeters.
Oh, so you have to wait till a certain point.
Yeah. And in my mind, I was like, I got to wait till I get to that point to start getting any type of pain medication.
Yeah.
But little did I know, I could have had some sort of pain medication this whole time. So from 9 to...
I mean, they did
say, oh, do you want pain medication? But I was like, I mean, it hurt, but I was like, to what point do I
start?
Yeah,
when do you make that call?
Yeah, when do I make that call? And so it was 4 in the morning at this point, like consistent. We were awake every like 2 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
And thankfully Mikey was really patient. I was just like, oh,
you're like cussing at him, like, fuck.
Yeah, I was just in pain. He's like rubbing my back. Oh. I wasn't screaming or anything. It was just like moaning and groaning.
Like ripping his hand off pretty much.
Yeah. I wanted to. So 4 o'clock, and then finally I was like, the pain meds, give it to me. Mm. And I was like, man, I feel so much better now.
I was able to take 5 hours ago.
I was able to take like a 2-hour nap. So 6 o'clock comes in, our doctor comes in, and she checks, and she pulls out the balloon. And I'm like, wait, I thought the balloon was supposed to slip out, you know? So she pulls it out, and I'm like screaming. I think I screamed more there than in actual. I didn't scream at all.
Was it because it was painful?
Yeah, it was painful. Oh, it was just, I mean, the balloon was still inflated in your cervix, so she like kind of pooped it out, and I was like, oh god, you know. So I was screaming, and she's like, oh, you're 6 centimeters, and I was like, oh,
you
okay,
just forced
so,
the six.
Yeah. So at that point, I was like, okay, you know, all that, I'm at 7 now. That's great. So that's when, you know, the whole process was progressing in that point where I got my epidural. Mm-hmm. And yes, I planned for the epidural for sure. Like, who wants to go through pain?
I don't know. My mom didn't. I'm like, how the heck do you?
Yeah,
not?
Props to all those mothers out there who did not.
Seriously.
And there's actually a point where if you don't want it,
it's too late.
It's too late, right?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, give it to me.
Why is that the case? Because it's like harmful to?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah. So you have to decide that early or else too late and you can't get the epidural.
I see.
So I knew from a while back that I was going to get the epidural. So I got the epidural. Body felt numb. So at that point, I don't feel anything anymore.
Were you like exhausted by this point? Because this is like, 20 hours in?
30 hours? About 24 hours already now. That morning, it was 7 centimeters. So I was like, cool, this should happen by noontime or something.
Yeah. Like, can I get some lunch by then?
Every few hours, they'll come in, and I was unfortunately stuck at 7 centimeters for another however many hours. And it wasn't until 6:30 p.m., was when I was ready.
Oh,
or 6 o'clock. Yeah. And I was ready to push.
Did they keep giving you the balloon catheter?
The balloon was the balloon was done at that point in that morning. So once she took it out, I was done.
So how did it get wider?
I guess with the Pitocin, the contraction.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, they had given me so much meds.
Yeah.
And epidural. I had to get 3 doses of the epidural because it kept wearing off because it took so long for me to give birth. And so my body was in so much stress.
Yeah.
I was shaking, quivering. I had chills. And finally, 6 o'clock comes along and then doctor comes in. She's like, put your legs up and push. And I was like, okay. And I thought it was a practice push. But she was like, all right, we're going.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, this is really happening.
And then all these people out of nowhere rush in, right?
Exactly. I had my sister-in-law in there. Mikey was in there. Like 2 nurses, like 3 more people come in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that push was not a practice push. It was the push.
Actually, so do the contractions already start bringing the baby, like start getting the baby
bringing
ready?
Bringing the baby down.
Okay. So it's not like there was another medicine that like forced the baby to start coming down.
No.
The contractions do it. Okay.
So, wait, I had a question too. Like, I remember you telling us during your pregnancy, like you had like the diabetes and all the other stuff. Has that affected like how you gave birth?
Where the induction came in, yes. So induction, because the baby was small, so they felt that she was going to grow better outside. The cysts, they were growing inside the placenta, which was a cause for concern because they were like, maybe these are what was causing the baby to not grow inside of me. So that diabetes wasn't a big issue because my numbers weren't that over the range. So I wasn't too worried about that. And the placenta previa actually settled itself before I gave birth. So the placenta had moved away from the cervix at that point.
Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't have to go through the automatic C-section.
I'm like on this roller coaster with you. Like, oh my God, is everything going to be okay?
I feel like I'm in it with you right now.
It's not over.
Yeah. So what happened next?
Like the pushing part.
So the pushing part.
You're like, I feel so exposed to the world right
now. I mean, at that point, your bottom half is exposed. You don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You're just like, get it out. Fine. Whatever. Bright freaking light on my cooch. You know, like, whatever. So, and then the pushing part, I don't know if they really taught us in the class where the pushing part is you push as if you're
taking
pooping.
Dump.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, I mean, I did, but then no one really confirmed that.
Yeah.
It was like, push. And the first part of it, I was pushing with my face too much. Like, if that meant, like, your face
stressed.
Like, it was, I was the pushing the wrong way, I guess.
You're
just like, no, push as if you're pooping. And with the epidural, you don't feel anything. So I don't even know if I'm pushing the right way.
Oh, right. But aren't they supposed to take down an epidural so you can actually start feeling?
Yes. So that was the other thing. Because I had so many doses of the epidural at that point, the epidural was still going real strong.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. So... I didn't know what I was doing.
You start pushing out of your face.
I was like, I am pushing. Exactly.
You're like, I'm pushing with everything I can feel.
I am pushing. So what, 30 minutes in, the baby was out.
Oh my gosh.
But I was just like, I am pushing, you know?
Yeah.
Baby came out and I didn't, yeah, go
was
for
it. Was it easier because she was smaller?
I mean, I guess so.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Wait,
can you feel her coming out of you?
You feel pressure, a little bit of pressure. But yeah, not. Feel.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine feeling. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Because how
without the epidural, no.
How much did she weigh when she
came out? She came out measuring 6 pounds, 3 ounces. So, I mean, not that small.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They made it seem like she was really small, but 6 was not that crazy.
Wait, did you have Mikey? Like, did you have a preference for, like, you don't go down there, don't look down there? Or, like, did you want him to stay near?
Yeah,
like,
what was the conversation with your husband?
I didn't mind if he was on either end, but I wanted him towards the head, supporting me.
Yeah.
Like next to me.
How about your sister?
My sister-in-law was, they're both on both sides of my face. Like, yeah. So both encouraging, push. Yeah. It was some crazy times. So baby comes out and I didn't know this because I was laying in a position where I couldn't really see down that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out after that the cord was wrapped around her neck.
Oh my God.
I know. So the doctor took the cord out. Unwrapped her real quick and put her on my chest. And I was like, my first reaction was, so much hair. She has so much hair. And I was like crying, obviously. Aww. You know, this whole experience led to this moment. Right. And I was like,
finally.
Crying and sobbing really hard. And then they started wiping her. And then they're like, her color is not changing. And then at that point, you're supposed to hear the baby cry, you know?
Yeah.
She let out a little tiny cry at first. But the doctor took her back, had Mikey cut the cord. And she was like, call the NICU people coming in.
Frick.
And she was like, call for help. And in my mind, I'm
like, oh my God, that's
if the doctor's screaming out for help, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what's going on? So they brought her to where they put the newborns on that table thing. And thankfully, I mean, everybody came in and she turned color immediately and started to cry. They had a suction and she had a lot of fluids in her chest. So they had to do all that. And then just traumatizing moment, you know, just seeing from afar your baby. My baby was like away from me. I didn't get to really hold her. And then they had to take her to NICU right away. They, you know, cleaned her up, brought her over to me one last time, and I got to kiss her before she left. So I didn't get that, you know, initial mother bonding experience in the beginning. Yeah, the skin to skin, I didn't have that. So that was rough. And then,
I'm getting there too.
I know.
So Mikey was next to you the whole time, or was he in the NICU, like, with her?
He went back and forth. He was recording, like, videos and taking pictures for me.
Did she cry, guys? No, I think this is the first time you're, like, really talking about it, too.
Yeah, totally.
I can't even imagine what you had, like, to have gone through all of that and then not be able to just, like...
That was going through it. I was like, come on, like, this is my time for her, you know? Yeah. But I couldn't get to see her. And then on top of that, I had a fever. And with the fever, they needed me to be clear 24 hours before I could even go see her. So everything had gone okay. Like, I would have been able to see her in the NICU within the same night, but I couldn't because I had a dang fever. So I had to wait another 24 hours to get that clear before I could even go see her. So even more of a delay, you know? So I was where I was at the hospital, they provide this like little live stream. So they have a little camera on the baby in the NICU, and I was just watching her through a camera on a little iPad. And then, you know, occasionally Mikey would go down and take a little video and all that stuff. So I got to see her in that way, but that was super rough. But after the 24 hours, finally got to go to NICU and go see her, and that was the moment I was waiting for, you know.
And was that like your fever passed in 24 hours, or it was just
the fever had passed within the first like hour, but because I had to be clear, they had to check me every few hours, like, you got to stay clear of the fever before you can go.
Of course.
Yeah
Holy shit.
Like, tearing up here.
Girl.
Yeah.
What is wrong, mama? It's like everything that you don't want to happen has happened. And you can't prepare yourself for any of this. You don't hear a lot of stories like this either to prepare yourself for it. And you're just like, why me?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Were you reaching out to people during that waiting period? Like texting with friends or calling with friends?
Yeah, I had like a handful of like close friends and family that we had told everything to, like from, you know, all the stuff in the middle, so that, you know, they were supportive and, you know, praying for us. And so only a handful of people knew like what we had gone throughout the whole pregnancy and like all this to top it off, you know. Luckily we have a good support system to get us through everything.
So that moment that you held her, you was like, do not ever take her away from me ever
and
again.
It was hard because I'm tired too. Yeah. You know, like,
you haven't slept.
Exactly. I haven't slept. I'm recovering. I'm in pain still. So like as much as I wanted to be with her forever, like in the NICU, like I was exhausted too. Yeah. So I was in there for maybe like an hour, and then I just immediately, I got like this like big old yawn come upon me. I'm like, I'm so tired. I want to be here, but we went back and I just slept.
And how long was she in the NICU for before you could take her home?
3 days.
And were you in the hospital?
I was, so I had some antibiotics I needed to take as well. So I needed a few extra days as well.
Yeah.
So we both were in there and I didn't want to go home. I was ready a day ahead of her to go home, but we stayed an extra day to wait for her because I didn't want to go home empty handed.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So yeah.
Dang.
Oh, well, the end. Well, sort of. The end in that part.
Oh, my gosh.
When she was in the NICU, was Mikey allowed to go in to see her while you know, recovering?
Yes, definitely. Okay. And it was hard for him because he didn't want to hold her without me being around. Yeah. So we both got to hold her when I was cleared of my fever.
That's good of him too, because he knows that that's like a shared, like a special like experience that you both wanted to have. Do you feel like you like love Mikey so much more after that whole experience?
Yeah, just,
like,
definitely. We both just appreciate each other so much more, you know. Just after all of this, we talk about it. Like, we don't want to ever have to go through that again. Yeah. So we even talk about like, are we going to have a second baby? Yeah. Do we want to go through the possibility of having to go through this again? I don't want to do it again.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't think that far. Right now, I don't.
Right now, you know.
Right now, I don't. Yeah. But, you know, ask me again in a few years.
Season 6, we'll come back talk to you again.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. We're taking it one at a time for sure.
Now that you have her and she's there with you at home, like, are there still things that are, like, coming up that you didn't expect? I'm sure there's like a whole host of just being a new mom and like having a baby in your home and all of that. Or are you like, I already went through the worst, this is all fine?
You would think, right? No, she's been a baby.
Typical
baby. So, you know, after she got cleared, brought her home, she's healthy, she's happy, she's great. You know, after all of that, she's a good baby.
She's
healthy. She's a little warrior, we call her. But yeah, everything's fine. I mean, they don't teach you how to be a mom and they don't tell you everything. So every night I'm like Googling something at 3 a.m, like how to put a baby to sleep. Like, you should check my history.
You're like the
history.
Most basic thing. Yeah. You're embarrassed to like show
but
anyone
the
else.
The thing is, I'm not alone. You read these forums online and there's so many moms asking what you think is the weirdest, stupidest questions. They're not.
Right.
Because everyone else is asking them too.
Yeah.
So it feels good to not be alone in that aspect.
How's like breastfeeding? Because I hear that that's like really difficult for some moms.
I don't know if it was, you know, something that had affected me, but not being able to bond with her from the beginning. Mm-hmm. She was taken straight to the NICU, so they were feeding her formula immediately, and she was feeding a lot in there. So three, four days of not breastfeeding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it because you were sick during that time, so they didn't want to use your...
And then she was in the NICU, so it was hard for me to go back and forth to do that. But I was pumping and providing whatever I could for her at the time. But when we got home, breastfeeding has been a struggle. I can't say that I am breastfeeding right now. I'm exclusively pumping and giving her my breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
So she's getting my milk.
Yeah.
And also supplementing with formula.
Yeah.
Mm. Can't breastfeed. Yeah, it's latching issues. That's like a whole nother topic, breastfeeding.
Oh my gosh.
Seriously. Like, they tell you breast is best, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's so many expectations of a mom, you know, breastfeeding, but it's not easy.
And I've been hearing, like, more and more of that, too, how that's, like, that shouldn't be, like, the normal. You shouldn't, like, shame moms just because they can't. Totally. Like, my sister could not, she didn't know that she was not providing enough milk until her baby had to go to the NICU, like, 2 days after she brought him home. And I was there, too, with them. Oh, and he was just crying all night. And she's like, I don't understand why. Like, why is he crying? And I would, and they'd be so tired that they would fall asleep in their bed for, like, 5 minutes. And I would just be, like kind of, like, shaking him a little. Like, come on, go to sleep, go to sleep. And I'm like, what's going on? And then that same night, they were like, all right, I think we need to go and see what it was.
Yeah.
What was happening was that he wasn't latching on well. Mm-hmm. And he actually wasn't getting fed enough. Yeah. So he was crying because he was, and she was just like, oh, I'm a terrible mom. Like,
no.
But, like, no one tells you that this is, like, a thing.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly in our generation that breastfeeding has become really popularized. But, like, when we were babies, like, I don't know about your parents, but I think I was on formula. Like, our generation, breastfeeding was not as, like, popular.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something I feel like that mothers should not be shamed for or...
I'm glad I'm, you know, in sharing my story because it's not easy. Like, in the beginning, you're like, I wanted to breastfeed. I was so into it. And, you know, in the end, it just doesn't work out for everybody, you know, and it's okay. That's the thing. Like, you got to understand that it's okay. You do what's best for you and your baby. You know what's best.
Right. Mm-hmm. So.
Dang, I feel like I'm still, like, reeling from your story of your pregnancy.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm still, like, a little in shock. And, like, I think for me right now, I just, after all, you going through your labor story and, like, not being able to see her, like, are you guys okay now, though? Like, is there any, like, complications, like, with you or, like, with the baby? Like, I know there's other struggles, like, being, like, a new mom, like, you know, Googling stuff, but, like, I guess health-wise, are you guys okay?
Yeah, I guess that first week was rough, you know, going home. Because initially, I didn't get that bond, so I felt not connecting with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, man, if only I was able to get that skin-to-skin contact, maybe this could have been better. Maybe I could have breastfed or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So somewhat, you know, blaming myself for things not going the way that it should be, quote-unquote, should be, but really there is no right or wrong way, you know. So that was rough, you know, on top of being a new mom, not knowing anything. I'm recovering. I'm in pain.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that, your physical healing, because physically, this process for you was
totally. Physically, emotionally, mentally, everything draining, you know. So that first week was rough. Yeah, recovery process was, and I'm still recovering, really.
It's only 2 months ago that you
It's been 2 months. Yeah, I don't know how much detail I want
the everything.
The leaking, the peeing. Just
the period, right? Do you wear a pad?
Yeah, so the hospital provides you with, you know, mesh underwear and pads and little, what's it called, like witch hazel pads and stuff.
Okay,
To help it heal.
Yeah.
It's like medication.
Like the spray, whatever, for you to clean yourself when you're using the restroom. So all of that, I used all of that.
Yeah.
Do they have to stitch you up?
I guess there's different degrees of tearing. Yeah. I tore. They didn't cut or they didn't, I tore, I guess it was a third degree tear, which was painful.
Yeah. I don't know what that is, but
third degree,
one, two, and three, so pretty
scary. It goes to four.
Ooh.
So four is tearing past your butthole.
Oh
my god.
So it's third, like, how far
is third corner, third is to the butthole.
I think that happens more often than we
totally
think.
It does happen.
Yeah. And it's better to naturally tear.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Right. Cut. But if you can just imagine, like, the amount of pressure to tear it.
Yeah.
That just, like, gives you a vision of,
thankfully,
like,
I didn't feel any
of
that. Yeah. But all I knew was she was doing something down there. Yeah. I was like, what is she doing? My sister-in-law was like, oh, she's stitching you up. I was like, oh, no, I tore.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, I wasn't going to birth the baby. But whatever.
Like, I think my sister, her epidural had just worn off when they were starting to stitch it.
Oh.
And I remember she was, like, all, like, happy and elated having a baby. And she's just like, the fuck? What the fuck are you doing down there?
No,
she's like, give me more pain medication before you do that.
That was another thing. The epidural, that lasted almost another 12 hours
for
me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. So my bottom half, I had to be carried around pretty much.
Yeah.
Because you can't feel your legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that thing lasted forever. And I was like, is this supposed to wear off anytime soon?
Is this going to be forever?
Yeah. So I didn't feel the whole stitching part.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, it was rough. But the scary part also after giving birth was going number two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to poop. I haven't pooped since Sunday. Now Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday. And I was like, I haven't pooped. I'm going to have a big one and it's going to be painful. But they give you like stool softener and stuff like that. So thankfully my first post birthing poop was okay.
Is that a thing? Do people talk about that?
I don't know.
We should talk about it now.
I'm like vision like women that like tear to their butthole and then they have to poop after the stitching, and they're constipated. Oh my god.
I would almost prefer like a tube up to get my poop out.
Just give me an enema or something.
Seriously.
Yeah, I can't imagine. But I was very scared. But I was like, I was sitting on the toilet and then I was like, oh, I already went.
That was a soft one.
It was good.
Are there any kind of like remedies that you're using to help your body heal?
Do I have any? Nothing that they don't tell you to do, really. Yeah. I'm doing like, what they give you and provide you, the little pads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, naturally it'll heal on its own. You can't really do anything to speed the process, unfortunately, but it takes time, and I'm maybe like 80% healed.
Wow. So like how long of a time period does it take for it to like usually all heal up, like all the stitching?
Stitching, like I think about like 6 weeks or so. Okay. Yeah. And that, they say, like, just dissolves. Like, the stitches,
dissolve. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you,
when
you got to pull that out.
Yeah.
They dissolve?
Yeah, I guess they have, it dissolves. Weird, I know.
Do you check and, like,
I have not.
Grab a mirror?
No, you know what? I have not looked down there.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. Really?
You're
going to go
home. I didn't want
to
see what it looked like post-birth either. I was like, oh, no, just let it be.
You're going to go home today, grab a mirror, and stand over it. Like, Agent Boss Girl has made me think about what my stitching looks like right now.
It's like, I don't want to know. I don't want to look at it.
Yeah.
As long as it feels fine, then I'm okay.
Does Mikey look at it?
No.
She's probably like, you stay away. I'm not looking.
I would feel like
you're
that
not
too.
Oh my god. That has not come up at all. Far from any type of conversation we've had.
Check my stitching.
I mean, I don't want to scare anybody from having a baby.
No. I think what's good is that it's like other women who are going through something maybe at the same time, but maybe something different. They're like, oh, yeah, like I feel like my thing is abnormal. Like she feels like her thing was abnormal. So we're all in this sort of together.
Yeah. You know? I feel like I've actually heard a lot of just things that totally depart from this like fantasy of the experience. So you sharing that, I know there's going to be a lot of women that.
So after all that, we're great now. Baby's great. She's the cutest thing in the world. And
I know.
We're just obsessed. I think every mom just thinks their baby is like the cutest thing.
Of course.
But no, my baby is the cutest.
Your baby is cute. Super cute.
What is the best part about being a mom?
Like no matter how bad your day is going, no matter like all the crazy stuff that's happening, like you just look at your baby and the baby smiles back at you. It's like the best feeling in the world. And, like, you just kind of forget about everything for that 1 second. And, like, you just made it all worth it in the end, you know?
More tears. Just kidding, more tears. What's, like, unexpected thing about being a mom that you didn't really anticipate?
How much your motherly instincts just kind of kick in when you have a baby. Yeah, you're never ready to become a mom. But when you have a baby, you're just, like, naturally, like, okay, I'm going to do this. Yeah. Baby's this, you know? Like, you know your baby ins and outs. Like, you're like, oh, I could do this. I'm doing this.
Yeah. Like you take it minute by minute.
Yeah.
And every minute something else happens.
You're exactly. Just like, Everything's different. It's, you can't, there's no, like I've been saying it, there's no right or wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything's very, you go with the flow. There's no routine. Mm-hmm. You can't, Every day is different and you learn something new every day.
And then you have your parents are close by?
Yeah. Both our parents are close by. His family, my family. Yeah. Everybody's been really helpful.
How has having a baby influenced how you see Mikey?
Like, has it, how is it?
Has your love grown deeper or like you're seeing a different side of him now, right?
Yeah, totally. You see, I mean, even prior to having her, I was just like, oh, I can only picture them growing up together, her being a daddy's girl, you know, like, stuff like that. So definitely like, you know, when it's just them two, you just kind of like take a look and you're like, oh, that's so freaking cute. Oh. You know, like,
That's like nice to see him as like a hot dude.
Yeah.
A hot dad.
Yeah. He's gonna make it on that what's it
Disneyland?
Called?
Disneyland.
Yeah,
Disneyland. I know that.
We'll make it there one day.
Kathy, thank you so much for being here with us today. I think hearing your story does also give just a lot of awareness that, like, being a mom going through pregnancy is a lot more difficult, and people go through abnormal things, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. That you think is only, it's like because of you or whatever, but I think everyone goes through this at the same time. So you being vulnerable here today and just sharing your story, that's so immensely significant to so many people, including us as, like, mm-hmm. future moms too. That makes us feel like whatever we go through, it's like, it's okay. Like, yeah, you're gonna, yeah. like, now you're at the other side and
yeah.
you're, like, so happy. You have yeah, this, like, yeah. cute ass little girl, like, yeah. growing up. It's incredible to see that journey. And yeah. where you are now. So
thank you guys for this platform to share the stories.
And I guess from here, you still are pursuing, like, your YouTube stuff, and you're still trying to, like, balance your job, and you have a kid now, yeah. and being a wife, and that's so many different, like, hats that you have yeah. to fill.
Is there anything
just,
can you
just
share
one with... hat bigger than all the rest?
Right, one hat's more important than everything yeah. else.
Is there anything you can share with us about kind of thinking ahead of how are your plans with, like, returning to work, return or balancing with YouTube? Or maybe not, you haven't thought that far ahead yet. Step one has just been kind of...
Well, I do start back at work in January, so I'm dreading that. Oh. But we're already starting to plan our first trip with the baby.
Oh.
So we're itching to travel, because prior to the baby, we were traveling a lot. So yeah. that's, you know, the next step is to plan a Hawaii trip next oh, year with oh, her.
That's so cute.
And then
cute.
Hopefully record and start vlogging, you know, incorporating baby.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's the next step.
What do you call it? Tiny?
Tiny little big.
Little big. Hashtag so cute.
I know.
So cute.
I feel really attached to Isla, because, like, hearing your story, it's like, how can I not be,
yeah.
you know, after the struggle yeah. you went through? So I'll be following on Insta.
Yeah.
Baby Isla.
Thanks, guys. She appreciates it.
And so just for our listeners, maybe if you could repeat what your handles are on social and where we can find you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not really active on all the other ones, but the most active one, I guess you could say, is Instagram, and that's Yee It's Kathy. Yee Y-E-E It's I-T-S Kathy with C-C-A-T-H-Y. Yee! Yee It's Kathy!
And then you also have a YouTube,
which is not very active. But
follow your Hawaii trip. Yeah.
Is there, like, a handle on that? I don't even know. You could just search my name.
Lil C Dog. Lil C Dog. Okay.
Lil C Dog. It's still Lil C Dog. I don't know if
that's
I changed
so
it.
That's so cute. It's still Lil C Dog.
D A W G.
D A Dog. Yeah, Lil C Dog.
Thanks again to Kathy for sharing her wonderful story with us. If you guys have any stories around your pregnancy experiences or labor or being a new mom, please email them to us at asianbossgirl@gmail.com.
We'll make sure to send those to Kathy as well, so
yes,
she could
please.
Read.
Yes, yeah. please. I would love to read everybody's experiences.
And if you guys enjoyed today's episode, please leave a baby emoji on our recent Instagram post. And you can find us on Asian Boss Girl on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
We are also on iTunes, Spotify, and all of your podcasting platforms. So leave us a rating and a comment, and we will see you on the next episode.
Bye!